Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's talk a little baseball now. As Buster only joins the Border Patrol right here on Sports Radio 810. Good morning, Buster. How are you?
It felt a lot better before I just talked with Jake, and I found out the level to which he is a pessimist, okay? Because we were talking about his preseason bets. One, you know, I told the whole world, look, absolutely go way under on the Orioles, and that's paid off. And then, so Jake and I were talking about that, and I asked him how much money he made. He said, well, you know, it's offset by the bet that I made on the Royals because I'm going to lose that. Now, and I asked him, wait a second, what was the line that you bet on that? And the over-under he had was 73.5. As of this moment, the Royals are projected to win 72 games. So it's not like it's over.
No, it's
like he's the guy 3.5 weeks out. He's like, I don't think we can make up one game on the current pace. Come on.
Buster, in his defense, I think he declared it over when the Royals gave up 9 runs to the effing Baltimore Orioles in the 8th inning last night, losing back-to-back games to Baltimore. I think that maybe soured Jake on the prospects of winning that bet. You can understand, can't you?
Well, I think he's got to put the Orioles in a little better context. They're a juggernaut lately. They split a series with the Yankees last weekend. Right. Then they've taken on the Royals, so maybe we've underestimated the Orioles. No, but all kidding aside, the Royals have a chance to beat the 73.5.
They do, but here's the thing, Buster, and this is a philosophical question. It's would you rather be a pessimist and wrong or an optimist? Or wait, a pessimist and right, or an optimist and wrong?
I would rather, if I were in your job and I'm getting up in the morning and doing morning radio, I better damn well be an optimist. That's all I'm saying. Well, it's the time you're getting up every day.
Well, I mean, it's like almost 20 years of doing this. So. And the Royals.
They gave
me 14 and 15, which was a shot.
He's just going through the motions.
Literally.
Buster is basically what he's saying. hey, Buster, let's talk about, Derek Jeter. Look, Derek Jeter, I know he's Derek Jeter. When he played, I saw enough Derek Jeter for 1 or 10 lifetimes. But I was tickled to see that I like it when old players don't hold back from being a red ass. I see that every week from Mike Boddicker. And I like it, the fact that he was thanking the writers except for the one writer that didn't vote for him. Clearly, he wasn't going to let that go. What did you think of that?
I loved it. I absolutely loved
it.
That's
right.
And to be clear in context, you know, I stopped voting for the Hall of Fame about 5 years ago. I didn't like the way the Hall, in my opinion, was trying to manipulate some of the voting, vis-a-vis the steroid era candidates. But, as time has gone on, and you look at the way the Hall of Fame voting has gone, you do ask the question, wait a second, why didn't this person get voted for? Like, why was it that Jackie Robinson got only like 76% of the vote? There were, I believe this is right, 23 people who didn't vote for Willie Mays. Willie Mays!
Right.
When his name came on the ballot, and how dumb that is. Mariano Rivera, a couple of years ago, became the first player to be voted in unanimously. And I love the fact that Derek said what he said, because I have heard this, there's a group of writers now kind of sniff like, no one cares about the whole unanimous thing. It's not that important. Well, Derek Jeter told you yesterday, yeah, it is important. And it's important for every voter to look at his ballot or her ballot and say, is this player worthy for the Hall of Fame? And I don't know how anybody in their right mind could look at Derek Jeter's career and say, that guy's not a Hall of Famer. And so I hope Derek, it was like a high inside fastball for any writer who's thinking about not voting for these guys. Because I counted them up over the next 4 or 5 years, there are going to be 5 more guys coming down the pike who, to me, are absolutely unanimous selections.
Buster, you're preaching to the choir. because at one point, George Brett gets 98.2% of the Hall of Fame votes. Who in the hell watched George Brett play and looked at his numbers and think, I don't think so. Not yet. They should line him up on stage and at the induction ceremony allow George Brett to slap everyone that didn't vote for him. It's ridiculous. I know there's other, like you said, Willie Mays, but like in Kate, it's like George Brett. Who the hell watches him? Like, I don't think so. Not yet. Not yet, George. We'll wait.
Got Meghan Murray.
It's just like, well, like, so you said you don't vote now, but like, you know the way of thinking, I guess. Or what is it? What's the point of that? It seems ridiculous.
Well, yeah, and I think it's gradually going away. And let's be clear about the full context of this, that, you know, the baseball writers, the vast majority of them take this very seriously. They do a great job. You know, a few years ago, they asked the Hall of Fame to release all the ballots. The Hall of Fame declined to do that. I really wish they would, so we would know who didn't vote for Derek Jeter or the three people who didn't vote for Ken Griffey Jr. Because, you know, that the voting process needs to evolve. And I think for years there was that feeling of, well, you know, no one's ever gotten in on the first ballot, so I'm never going to vote for someone. Well, that's kind of stupid because that makes the ballot about you if you're a writer. Let's face it, some of it is racism in the past with some candidates. But to your point, you know, I'm looking at it now. In the year that George Brett was eligible for the Hall of Fame, 9 voters didn't vote for George Brett for the Hall of Fame.
So stupid.
3,154 hits. He won an MVP. He's got all these all-star appearances, led the league a million times in, you know, hits or doubles or you know, plate appearances or OPS, adjusted OPS plus. How do you how could you ever justify not voting for him? Ricky Henderson, to me, easily, you know, an inner circle Hall of Famer,
right.
The biggest leadoff hitter of all time. Crazy numbers. And I think it's like 25 people didn't vote for Ricky Henderson. Are you kidding me? And so, look, because they don't release the ballots, you know, those people's feet can't be held to the fire. And I like Derek sort of twisting up the pressure on those guys going forward because he should have been a unanimous selection. And when Max Scherzer and Albert Pujols and Miguel Cabrera and Clayton Kershaw, Adrian Beltre hit the ballot in the years to come, they should be unanimous selections. There's no rational argument to make that says they're not a Hall of Famer.
Actually, I'm looking at the voting percentages of all the Hall of Famers, and George Brett was actually 8th. Only 7 Hall of Famers had a higher percentage of votes cast for them. Rivera, Jeter, Griffey, Seaver, Ryan, Ripken, and Ty Cobb are the only ones ahead of George Brett. Right behind George Brett, Hank Aaron. And so 9 people didn't vote for him. Like, what the hell are you watching? And like you said, there's other things at play there, but like Tony Gwynn. What else did you want him to do? It's ridiculous, and I wish we could find out. And so they could wear that like the Scarlet Letter and say, you know what? Oh, yeah. I didn't see it. I didn't see it from Hank Aaron when he played. I don't know why. He needed to do more.
Right, exactly. That is a great example of that. My feeling is, too, is that if, you know, some of the voters, I think, absolutely want to call attention to themselves with these, you'll actually see from time to time someone will have the outlier vote and they'll, when you read between the lines, it's like, no, they just want to make it about themselves. And my feeling is, in that case, oh, you don't want to vote for Derek Jeter? Okay, we'll give you some attention.
So,
like, well, everyone will pay attention on social media. I find it maddening, and I love the fact that Derek, who said when he was initially voting, he said, "Yeah, it doesn't matter to me." You know what? It does matter. I live one town away from where Mariano Rivera has a car dealership, and the fact that he's the unanimous selection is all over all of the paraphernalia put out by his dealership. It does matter. It's a special designation. It kind of defines the inner circle Hall of Famers. George Brett should have been unanimous selection. Hank Aaron, my God, I'm looking at these numbers as you said that. You know, 2,297 RBI, 755 home runs. Like 25 all-star appearances in games, an MVP. That's not good enough? Yeah. Come on.
Some guy looked at that and go, Nah, I don't think so. So have you ever gone to Mariano Rivera's car dealership? Like, did they bring him out to close all the deals with the people?
That was good.
Inner Sandman plays. He comes, you know, running out of the showroom.
He uses that cutter to slash all the prices.
Exactly.
That was a little too.
This is 100% true. This is what I'm going to tell you next is 100% true. The car out in the driveway that I lease is from Mariano Rivera.
Oh, really?
And I didn't ask you for anything. I just went there, just told the dealership, didn't tell him, you know, that I worked for ESPN, but. You know, Rivera, in the years that I covered him, from the first day I met him to the last, he was exactly the same person. I had so much respect for him, and I was happy to lease a car from a dealership owned by him. I've never mentioned it to him. You know, I've seen him every spring. I've never told him that I leased a car, but that's why I leased it from him, because he was a good guy. But when it comes to Hall of Fame vote, that shouldn't matter. I remember reading when, you know, at the time, Ricky Henderson, when his name was up there, a couple of people said, well, you know, I went to talk to him one day, and he was a jerk. Get over yourself.
Right.
Get over yourself. It's not about you.
I mean, Zach Greinke stole a cup of coffee from you one time. I'd still vote for him for the Hall of Fame.
I don't know. Maybe. You know, maybe. I'd be up in the air. I kind of want you to go to Rivera next time and say, hey, you know, something doesn't sound right. Could you take a look at this? My car's out in the lot. They're complaining about something.
Honestly, though, you know what? Go ahead, Buster.
No, I was going to say, you know, I will, if I do have a conversation with him about my lease, then I will pass it on to you guys. I'll report back.
Right. Thank you.
So, honestly, this is like what you guys are talking about is one of the reasons I've never been a big Hall of Fame guy. I just don't get that excited about Hall of Fames. And I think it's because I like sports. It's a problem I have with college football to this point. I don't think sports should be something that are voted on. I like sports because there's a scoreboard at the end of the day. And one team scores more and the other team doesn't. And there's a winner and a loser. You can have all your opinions that you want, but you got to go out there and actually play on the field. So let's talk about what's happening on the field, Buster. The Toronto Blue Jays are the hottest team in baseball, and I thought they were, like, out of it. I thought they were out of the playoff picture as of just, like, a little over a week ago. They're not out of the playoff picture, are they?
No, I think it was on August 27th, according to Fangraphs. Their chances for making the postseason were at 5%. August 27th, as of today, it's about 46%, and I actually think it should be higher than that because, you know, going into the weekend, every team will have about 7 series left. Well, out of the last 7 series for the Toronto Blue Jays, with this absolutely deep lineup with Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who might be the best hitter in the American League in baseball this year, out of their last 7 series, 4 are against the Baltimore Orioles and the Minnesota Twins, who are 2 of the 4 worst teams in baseball this year. And I think they're going to destroy those. You know, that has a recipe in that for, you know, those other teams are like, you know what, can we please just get September over with? Because we want the offseason to happen. And if the Blue Jays get leads in those games, they will steamroller those teams. And meanwhile, you've got the Yankees, who, you know, while they're coming down the stretch here, they got hot 113 straight. But now their most important reliever, Jonathan Loaisiga, is out indefinitely with a shoulder injury. It's a devastating injury. And they don't know about Gerrit Cole, who just strained his hamstring the other day or wounded or hurt it in some fashion. They don't know exactly where he stands. That's what's going on with that team. I feel like at the moment the Blue Jays are the second best team in the American League behind the Tampa Bay Rays.
We have Buster Olney on the line. All right, Buster, let me ask you about the National League. I continue to be fascinated by the Giants holding off the Los Angeles Dodgers. And also, we've got a pretty interesting race in the NL East. What are your thoughts about the way things are shaping up in the National League?
Yeah, we just had the Giants and the Dodgers on Sunday Night Baseball last weekend. And what we saw in that 3-game series was, I think, classic 2021 Giants. You know, they went into the series because of some starting pitching injuries, knowing that they would have to use an opener, you know, and then use a bunch of relievers on Saturday and Sunday. And yet when the series is over, they took 2 or 3 games, including a game against Walker Buehler, who's one of the front runners for the National League Cy Young Award. They, as Joe Girardi, the Phillies manager, said, whatever matchup you present for the Giants, they seem to have a counter move. They are the National League's version of the Tampa Bay Rays. And here's something else, too. the Dodgers right now, you know, once they got close to them, I think knuckleheads like me were saying they're just going to blow past them. The Giants and the Dodgers' talents manifesting. Speaking of underrated injuries, the Dodgers losing A.J. Pollock last week to a hamstring injury, which will probably keep him out the rest of the regular season, that was a huge deal because it means they now have to play Cody Bellinger. Guys, I've never seen a player go from being an MVP-caliber player in his mid-20s to being someone who struggles to put the ball in play. It's shocking how far back he's come. You know, he's already been reduced to a platoon player. You know, Dave Roberts now, I think there's going to be a bunch of situations down the stretch where he might pinch hit for him against left-handed pitching because he just cannot handle velocity anymore. So the Giants looking very dangerous there. In the National League East, I still think the Atlanta Braves, you know, take control of that division based on their postseason experience. And we really haven't seen any indication from either the Mets or Phillies that they're going to, you know, gather some momentum and enough to run down the Atlanta Braves.
Buster Olney is our guest. Buster, the Boston Red Sox, going back to the American League, that throw from Hunter Renfro, yeah, that was a walk-off throw to end the game between Boston and Tampa Bay, I mean, that's one of the best throws I've seen. I've seen some, I mean, we talk about Alex Gordon and Bo Jackson. The Royals have had some incredible arms out in the outfield. And if you consider that, I mean, that ended the game. And if he wasn't backing up Santana on that play, that would have been an inside-the-park home run to tie the game. That was a hell of a throw. And after the trade deadline, it felt like, well, the Yankees made all these moves, and the Red Sox, they did acquire Kyle Schwarber, and he's been good, but it seems like, you know, they didn't get Anthony Rizzo. They failed at the trade deadline. They're ahead of the Yankees right now, and that was a hell of a win and a hell of a throw from Renfro.
It was a huge throw, and you mentioned it. Very interesting, because I think that play actually was built off something that happened earlier in the week when there was a deep fly ball to center field. Alex Verdugo was playing center field. The ball hits Verdugo wasn't able to catch it. It caroms back toward the infield, and neither J.D. Martinez, who was playing left field, or Renfro in right field, backed up the play. The replay showed they didn't even move, and so the ball hits the center field wall, comes back toward the infield, and the guy who wound up retrieving it was the shortstop, Jose Iglesias. He was 50 feet from the warning track, and so post-game, that was a big story. Why didn't Hunter Renfro back up the play? Where was he? Well, guess what? Last night, center fielder goes for the ball. It gets past him. Who's backing up the play? Hunter Renfro, and he made an incredible throw. He leads the majors in assists, and I'm sure at the moment that Joey Wendell was tagged out at third to end the game, in the back of his mind, it was that mantra of, oh, my goodness, you cannot have a game end with a third out in an inning at third base. It was a base-running mistake, but it was also an unbelievable play by Hunter Renfro.
Buster, finally, this is no question. It's just a statement. Salvador Perez has 42 home runs. So just want to throw that
out. He's wrong. What if he leads the American League in home runs? How cool would that be? What if he goes nuts and winds up with 50?
What if he goes nuts that he would become the Royals' single-season leader? Soler has that at 48. He could lead the league in home runs. He would shatter the record for most home runs by a catcher ever in Major League Baseball. And he would add to his growing Hall of Fame resume, Buster Olney.
Let's do it. I don't want any diss. I don't mean this is a diss on Jorge Soler, but at the end of the day, at the end of the careers, don't you want Salvador Perez to hold that particular record?
Thank you. That's what I said earlier this week. Salvi deserves to have that record, not Jorge Soler. That should be Salvi's record, and he's going to get it, Buster, just because you said that. Just because you said that.
Awesome.
You're awesome, Buster. Thank you so much. I believe in you. Thank you, Buster.
Hang in there, Jake.
Jake. Hang in there, man.
I'm hanging.
Damn.
I'm hanging.
Buster's right. We said that earlier. That's, you know.
I'm rooting for
it. Yes, Soler did hit 48, and he earned it, whatever else. But when it's all said and done, who do you want to have that?
Salvi needs it.
How beautiful would that be?
Perfect. Perfection.
It's 42 homers. I don't know if you've been watching.
I have been watching.
Have you been watching?
Because I.
If I'd have told you that, what would you have said?
I'd slapped you right in your mouth. And
I wish you would. I need it. I need to taste my own blood. It's bittersweet.
I'm just glad that I got a steal from Witt. You know, I want Salva to keep hitting bombs, but I need Witt to keep stealing some base.
Update. Whoever thought of this prop bet is, boy,
smart
I got
guy.
It. Yeah, right now, updated score. It's 42 to 40.
Oof.
42 to 40. Man. Salvi's homers
Ladies
leading.
Ladies and gentlemen, Stephen St. John.
Whit Merrifield's stolen bases. Going to go right down to the wire. 42-40 right now. Salvi has the lead. Back after this on WHB.